Today I have Sophia Quale with me. Sophia is an AI project manager at Indigo AI, and she's overseeing the company's AI governance. Welcome, Hello. Sophia. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good as well. Thank you for coming. I had a look at your past experiences and found it very interesting. You have this mix of a bit of technical, a bit of non-technical approach. You say on your LinkedIn profile that you evaluate AI from all angles. And I think you really did that in practice. So I'll just leave it to you to explain a bit who you are and what you're doing at the moment.
Okay, sure. So I work at Indigo, indigo.ai. And I am a project manager, which means everything and nothing at the same time, I guess. But I manage the company AI governance. This means, for example, now that the AI Act is upcoming and is starting to be something real, I introduce it to the company and I kind of operationalize it, like as in a strategy. And this also means that I am responsible for Indigo's research on AI ethics and also politics, but specifically I try to evaluate the impact of generative AI on society. As we said before, 2023 has been the year of generative AI, so that's why I focus on that aspect. There's also a more like creative kind of side, which is the community building. So I kind of lead a community of AI specialists, which is called Gen AI, by the way. I get to facilitate like collaborations with leaders like think Google, but also we had collaboration with Argo Vision, which is a great startup from Milan. And with them, we organized events and conferences and so on. So I kind of get to facilitate these very interesting moments to share knowledge and AI culture. And I wrote that I look at AI from all angles because I don't think I have a very kind of expected background. I'm not 100% a tech computer scientist. So that's, I think that kind of gives me a more holistic approach, I guess.
I can relate to that. And I think there is a general idea that a lot of people who work with AI have a technical background. But I think nowadays that idea is a bit broken thanks to people like you who come from different backgrounds as well. Sophia, I wanted to ask you, and I completely forgot for a second, for the sake of the name of the podcast as well, are you a robot?
Maybe. No, I'm not. And my way to prove it is that I have too many intrusive thoughts to be a robot. And I think a robot would have a way easier way of managing their own ideas if they had them. Who knows if they do? But yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one. That could be another episode, I think. Do robots have their own ideas?
Yeah, or intrusive thoughts.
Also. Okay, I accept that as your captcha is resolved. And thank you so much for proving that.
Thank you very much. I think this is called inverted Turing test or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I passed the Turing test.
So listening to your background, now that I know that you're not a robot as well, I'm really interested in learning a bit more about the research that you're working on, because you mentioned that you research the generative AI's impact on society. What are different aspects that you're considering while you're doing that research?
Well, first of all, I kind of make sure that I am up to date with everything that is happening in the AI world from a research point of view. So like, I think in generative AI, there are many different trends of research that we kind of observed in the last year. I'm thinking like the trend of multimodality or the trend of agent methodology or the threat of different reinforcing learning systems or methods. For example, like the one from human feedback, which is the one used from the GPT's models, but then there are also different others. And I kind of make sure that the company is updated on those trends. And then I try to do by reading the research, I try to make an evaluation of what this means, obviously, in my opinion, for the society I live in, which is the only one I can know in a certain way. And then for like, I would say the more hardcore ethical part, I don't know if you are accustomed to those, but there are like lots of releases of frameworks for transparency, honesty, like all these kind of, frameworks or benchmarks. And what I do is that I kind of test them, algorithms and real generative AI systems, the ones I have access to. And I think I kind of try to fill the gap between the theory perhaps and the more like company industrial organizational aspect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And how does this benefit the company that you do research in? Why do you think they have a role like you that is doing this work?
I think it helps in the sense that in the long run, it makes them stand out as a reliable company. I think in a more, like if I had to answer as a marketeer, I would say brand awareness. But as a researcher, I think in the long run, it really pays off because it makes sure that first of all, the company is up to date with everything that is happening. Because maybe if I had to answer this question 2 years ago, I would have said, because these things perhaps are going to happen and we are going to have to comply to regulations and stuff. But now in 2 years, all the European companies have to be compliant with the AI Act. So in a sense, is something that, like, I understand that not all the companies have the means to do that, but in a way or another, they'll have to comply. So they should start to put in place strategies to do so. I think that in the long run, it really pays off. And I think, but this, I'm saying it because of my background, that bringing a different perspective into a world of, well, I'm sorry to say, but mostly is male. And it's from a very technical background. So perhaps these are people with a different outlook on things, which is still really important. But I think the combination between, somebody that has different experience, somebody that tries to look at things from, not tries, because the interesting thing is that, like, I cannot look at things in any other way other than like my background that I have with philosophy and ethics and everything. So I think it's really beneficial and important. And I don't know if now this is true or it's just my opinion, but probably it also takes a bit of anxiety away, because I think at the moment with all the talk about governance or compliance or AI ethics, I think like everybody talks about AI ethics. And I think people are gonna ask companies an opinion on things. Like, for example, people ask our CEO what they think about the AI Act. And a company in a way or another needs to be aware of what is happening in the world and on board with it in a way. And so I think it's relevant, obviously, because I do.
No, it's definitely relevant. And also to add up on your point, when you mentioned that a lot of people who work in the field are men who are who have a technical background. So I remember doing some research on it as well. And the women who are working in AI, I think this research was from 2 years ago, if I'm not wrong. At that point, it was around 20-25%, not more. And it definitely creates a difference when there are diverse backgrounds that are involved in the decision-making processes within the company. So it's definitely a valid concern. And I think it's great that your company has this role in which they can internally also have the knowledge spread it within the company, and also, as you said, not have the anxiety of missing out and not doing enough when it comes to AI. And it is very difficult to stay up to date. We release a newsletter on a weekly basis as well. And before doing that with the team members, we sit down, have a look at the news and choose from them. Even if some weeks I feel like, okay, I don't have time, but I need to make it work, I still know that on the long term, it has huge value for me to be up to date while I'm talking to different people from different companies as well. So very good point. I want to ask you a bit more about the European Act, the EU Act, since we talked about it. What do you think are its implications on AI initiatives? How does the existence of the EU Act affect companies who are working in the field?
This is a good question, and I also think it's a difficult question, because I think the AI Act was needed for many years. I do think that when it came to life, like when they started all the writing and rewriting and approving it and deleting things away and stuff, we could see that in the, let's say, the group of big companies in Europe, there has been huge movement, and there has been also lobbies. There has been like lobbies actions, probably because the fear is that the impact that the AI Act is going to have on companies is to shut down research in some way, or shut down innovation and limit innovations. Obviously, the AI Act is from the European Union for the European citizens. So I think what it tries to keep in mind is the protection of their rights. Then obviously the European Union is also an economic group and an economic has an economic agreement. So in a way, yeah, I think companies pushed on that part to kind of have it modified in a way that wouldn't hurt them as companies too much. AI companies that produce and create AI for general purposes, they will be limited in the sizes of such models. Mm-hmm. And for everybody, we'll have to have AIs that are compliant with everything else that is written in the AI Act. For society, in like in more general sense, there's the chapter of surveillance, AI surveillance, which is a very interesting chapter and very big chapter. But I think that is more like on how it's going to impact and protect the citizens other than companies. Obviously, it will impact companies that produce that kind of AI. I think there should be like a conference on the AI Act and explaining like how it's going to affect companies. Obviously,
that's a good idea.
Just main points on the top of my head.
No, I think it's a good idea. It would be, I think there needs to be some kind of a training on the EU AI Act as well, explaining the main points. I'm sure there are, but I think it's a very good step forward, and I see it as a reminder of it's okay sometimes to take things slow. First, try to understand what's happening, and then start working with AI, because as we spoke with you on our earlier conversations as well, the harm that comes from anything that can go wrong with AI scales really quickly. Yeah. And that is the reason why we should sit down and take the time and talk and define our limits as humans, talk about the things that make us human as well, and build our future around that.
It's a very good point that we shouldn't do everything that is available for us to do when it comes with technology.
Exactly.
Yeah. It is very difficult to do in a world that works on the base of profit, because that is the other part of the problem.
That's very true. I think that's just highlighting the need for us to set the limits when it comes to AI. But another thing that I saw is recently the European Commission also announced that they will invest 4 billion euros until 2027 for startups and SMEs. I saw that as an innovative step forward. And I kind of really like the approach here because it is first setting the limits, regulating, letting companies know what to expect, what not to expect, and now supporting them in embracing AI and working with this technology. I wanted to also ask your opinions on that.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. And I think the reading on this topic, I read that they will allow the use of supercomputers to small startups and SMEs, which I also think it was very interesting because they were writing that this will allow testing for fair and honest and ethical AI. And I think we can see in this action a good balance. And also, not only in the political aspect, as you said, but also how things work in technology, that in a sense, in the AI Act, they put a limit on the size of the general purpose AIs. They need to be a certain size and the foundational algorithms needs to be open, blah, blah, blah. And then on the other side, we are going to support your work and we are going to allow you to use supercomputers to better understand these AIs that we put limits on. So you kind of use technology to understand technology, which I always think is very insightful in a sense, or full circle moment. And then I also read that they have this initiative, I think it's called Gen AI for EU, European Union, which is an initiative to support the development and all the, I don't know, use cases and emerging applications of AI in Europe. I really like that in Europe we are starting to have an AI scene that is, it does seem holistic. It does seem it has all the aspects. I remember when I started, it was 2019. And I was studying in the Netherlands, and I remember in Brussels, there was the first conference on AI regulations. And it's really nice to see that as technology developed and moved on, also the regulatory part of AI in Europe moved on. And I think in the long run, I know everybody says AI in the US is way more powerful than if probably AI in China is way more powerful because they have a huge amount of data on everything. But I do believe, as the optimistic person I am, because we have rules, or at least because we are trying to have rules in Europe, this is gonna build a system that perhaps is more sustainable than in the US, for example.
Yeah, I feel like it's very risky and it's interesting to watch. As you said, I really like the scene that is emerging in Europe as well when it comes to AI. But since we mentioned, the risks are big when you go without any regulation or limitations. Something can go really wrong. And it can cause some countries a lot of problems as well. I mean, it's hard to imagine what would that look like, but I do see the necessity in doing that first as well. So yeah. Very good point. I have another question. In your company, there's someone like you. Thank God that can help have a look at all the news and the company is all up to date that you mentioned. But there are so many companies that don't have that kind of roles within their companies. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to be up to date and they're trying to understand if they should invest in this technology, start teaching it to their teams, if they should approach it or stay away. And as someone who is exploring it from all the different angles, what kind of message would you like to leave companies with that have a focus on policymaking, compliance, and maintaining some ethical standards on AI projects?
So, another good question and a difficult one to answer because my quick answer would be that every company that wants to include AI in their processes or their projects would need to have some sort of AI specialized team with perhaps a person that focuses on governance and compliance. But I do understand that is not possible for every sort of company. And I do also understand that very often, for example, that there is in the US market, very often companies buy AI products from other companies and these AI products are ready to use. So what I would say is that first of all, the company they pick, they should make sure that it is a transparent company and is a reliable company when it comes to AI. In the past years, I think AI companies are so many and they do all sorts of things. I do think though that certain companies distinguish themselves from other companies, so this should be kept in mind. And the other thing is that there are startups or companies that focus on AI ethics and algorithmic evaluation. I think in Italy, for example, there's this company called Immanence. They do algorithmic evaluation, and I read the other day that they just made it in the ethical AI database, which is the only public database where startups that provide ethical services are kind of collected. So I would say that that is also a good way to make sure that your company is compliant. Like if you don't have the leadership or the experts to evaluate that, I think companies should consider that. And the other thing that I would say is that it would be nice to have some kind of, I don't know how to call it, something like AI company culture of some sort, so that because you use AI, you would like your employees to at least know what AI is and what it can do. I was at a conference in Canada, in Toronto, and there's a Scotiabank there. And okay. they were explaining, like there was their head of data and compliance that was explaining that they actually have courses within the company that their employees have to take. Like, I don't know if the listeners have ever been in a big companies, but at the beginning, when you start, you have to do all these courses on all sorts of things. How to not sell your passwords when you're in a coffee shop and stuff. And they built a course like that for AI, which I think is great because, you know, people don't have to be passionate about AI. And I'm sure a lot of people are not even interested in AI. But yeah, it's a bit like not being interested in proper like internet seats at the table or something like that, you know. Like AI is kind of everywhere. So I think a little bit of ABC, like a basic grammar, should be thought at least in workspaces and where they use AI tools. So this would be my answer. I know it's maybe naive and a bit like that I'm dreaming big, but you know.
I think it's a fair request from the future. I think that is, as you said, we're teaching in big companies especially. There are all these trainings that you need to do on all the specific little things that are very important for the company. At the end of the day, even if that example is really funny of not to sell your password to someone else in a coffee shop, if you do, there will be problems within that company. So it is very important. But I think the AI literacy is something that people should have within the company to not cause these problems as well. What I remember is that there was a client of ours who reached out to us, and it was very interesting because his main request was to make sure that the employees within that company knows which AI tool to buy and not to buy. So he was not really considering their AI knowledge per se. It was more about, I want them to be able to understand what is really AI and what is necessary and what is not necessary, because he didn't want someone who is really good at selling to just have a meeting with them and then have them spend their budget there. Very specific, but very on point request. And I think that kind of a workforce is possible after that kind of trainings that are done within companies as well. That's a very good point. Thank you very much, Sophia, for all the points that you mentioned. It was so interesting to have you as a guest speaker. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I really like to be part of these spaces where we can converse about AI stuff. And I also think it's important to have them. So
thank you so much.
Thank you.